And how did you come to Scotland?
Well, we were arrested in 1938 and put on a train to, we didn't know where, but it ended up in a forest. And it was obviously outside Poland, and we're told to get off the train and start walking in the night in the rain. And all of a sudden, the Poles started shooting, and everybody started screaming. And the Germans went up forward and said, "We're not starting a war, we're just bringing a load of refugees." And they let us into Poland. And my father went to his uncle and said, "Could you come and pick us up?" And we had nothing with us when we were arrested. We had absolutely just what we stood in. And they gave us food and everything. And then we had to move on to Krakow. And my father got a little flat. And we lived there. But my father said, "This is 1938. We're not going to survive here." And he's got some friends in London to write a letter saying he must come to London very urgently, which he did. And his friend, he couldn't speak any English. His friends said, "You must go to the Home Office and try and get your family out." So the first letter was no, the second letter was no. So my father had a lot of furrier friends. They were all furriers, all good friends. And they said, "Why don't you start a factory?" He had a big factory in Leipzig, about 17 employees. So he started a factory and he wrote to the Home Office, and I've got the papers. "Tell your wife to go to the British consul in Warsaw and you will get papers to enter Britain," which immediately she did. And we had to go through Germany, and we wanted to say goodbye to my grandparents, but they wouldn't let us stop. We had to move on. So we went to Hook of Holland and then to Harwich. We met up with my father again. That was a start.
How did you end up here in Scotland?
Well, we went to London and we had money because my father had sent money over. And we had started another factory. We had all our friends, all the furriers, and then the bombing started. And 9 weeks we had to live in the shelter, every night in the shelter. And we've got a picture here. And somebody said, "Come to Glasgow." So we thought that's better because bombed out and we lost everything, everything bombed out. So we came to Glasgow, and Paul De Fields, I don't know if you know him, I've got a picture of him, he was the one that said, "Come to Glasgow." And the night of we came to Glasgow was the Clyde Bank Blitz.
Oh dear, that was 1941.
Yes. So my father said, "We must find somewhere to live," and we bought a Oh no, we rented a bungalow in Kilpatrick Gardens, and the neighbours all came round. "Refugees are here," and the non-Jewish people were too wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful. Because my mother never knew how to light a fire and a damper. What's a damper? And we had central heating. We had lived, very well. With no trouble until 38.
That was very fortunate. And what did you do? So you were still very young. Did you immediately go to school here in Glasgow?
No, I went to school in London, and the teacher said, "Well, just bring your little brother as well." And they were Bell Lane School, and they were very nice, and I had lunch there, and we got something called jelly. I said, what is this jelly? Never heard of it. It was in a little container, and it was lovely. I enjoyed my jelly. Oh, that was lovely. So came home, I told my mother, we had jelly.
You must have quite quickly picked up English.
Oh, yes. I don't know how, but I did. So my mother spoke to me in German. I spoke to her in English. So she learned English. And my father learned very quickly. Quite amazing. And then we came to Glasgow. I went to school here, made a lot of nice non-Jewish friends. It wasn't until I went to Maccabi that I really got into the Jewish way of life again.
Oh, your younger brother, sorry. Is your younger brother in Glasgow?
Yes. Yes, we all came to Glasgow, and I must say my father met so many people in the fur trade and in London. I mean, the furriers, in the fur trade, people seem to cling together and help each other. If somebody had a coat that they didn't have, and somebody said they wanted this coat, they would phone round, have you got such and such, and send it over. You know, they always helped each other.
And during the war, he must have been getting the pelts from Germany or somewhere.
I don't know where he was getting them. The pelts came from Russia.
Ah, I see. And they were able to get them even during the war?
Yes, I don't know how. But they came, what they called, they weren't finished, and they have to go to a chemical plant because they were raw. And when they came back, I had to slit them, the backs from the front, and walked to the factory. I quite enjoyed it, actually. But I don't know where my father got the pelts.
And did your mother live in Glasgow with you afterwards, after your father died?
Yes. Yes, my young brother was 3. And it's amazing, she has written a little booklet. Everything is in there.
And that's Mr...
Paul Fields.
Paul Fields.
Paldy.
Is that what you called him, Paldy? Paul Fields.
Well, Roman got away, went to... It's in my mother's book.
Yeah.
But I think the others all died.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is my father.
He was very handsome too.
And my Uncle Benno. He wrote a very funny story. Very funny.
And Benno perished in Auschwitz too.
He died in Auschwitz.
Right.
I've got the pictures. Right. And
so they must have been taken from Germany once the war began. Right?
I really don't know. That's Weissensee. My grandparents were buried there. That's my mother's head. They were buried in Weissensee in Berlin, but they lived throughout the war in Germany, and that's in my mother's book.
So one set of grandparents survived the war,
yes.
And the ones in Poland didn't. Is that how it worked?
Yes.
Ah, that's interesting. So they managed to live through the war in Germany.
Well, they were hidden
behind
a false wall.
Really? By whom?
And people brought them food.
So non-Jewish people protected them in Germany, in Berlin?
Yeah.
That's very brave.
Yeah, behind a false wall. Isn't it the book?
Oh, that's amazing.